add it, you can be in charge of this. Okay? Okay. Simacope Gimel is short and sweet, but it has a lot in it. It's an introduction to all of Hilchos Nida. It's a good introduction. Says the Mechaber, Isha Shiyotza Dam Mimikora Bein Ba'onis Bein Baratzon. If Dam comes out of a woman's uterus, whether Ba'onis or Baratzon here means Ba'onis, it's sort of the opposite of what we usually think it means. Ba'onis means because of something she did, and Baratzon means because of the natural processes of her body. So it's like onus, meaning she forced it on her body, or ruts of her body did it herself. But the main point is, no matter why, for any reason, tmeya. Vehu shetargish bitzi also, as long as she feels the dam leaving her. Miu shetargish moshenekar mkomo v'yatza tmeya afishol yatza lechotz. However, once she feels that it left, even though we call all over Hilchos Nida, we call it re'iyah. Okay, not yet in this sense, but in the end of the sentence already, call it re'iyastam, 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 seeing. But the seeing is really not halachically relevant at all, even though re'iyah will be a very big, like, code word for seeing dam. Re'iyah will be the opposite of kesem, that we'll discuss in a moment. But it really doesn't depend if she sees it. So it says here in the Shulchan Aruch, if she feels that it left its place, she's tmeya, even though it didn't come outside and she didn't see it yet. So seeing is not necessarily relevant, just that in normal cases, you don't know something exists until you see it. So here is the din of Hargasha. This is a very, very important principle, which we'll come back to, mainly in Simon Kuf Tzadi. The Shach points out, if you just, the Gemara Darshans, Daphne Zayim Abbas, the Shach, Ki, Siyez, Zavah, Dam, Yiyez, Zavah, Biv, Sarah. Why does it have to add the word Biv, Sarah, in her flesh? So the answer is she has to feel it in her flesh. It's only tmeya if she feels it, if there's a hargasha. So the if you just read the Shulchan Aruch, you might think she doesn't feel it, she's not tmeya at all. The Shach points out here in Sifkat and Beis, Hayim Deraisim, Drabbanan tmeya afalpi shelo hargisha, right? That midrabbanan, she is tmeya even without hargasha, but actually the Torah Shlomo has a very nice part. So why did the Machabir say she's not to me at all without Hargasha? It says, because the next line is going to say, Afilu rasa elatius dam kechardo. Even if she sees a tiny drop. A tiny drop is not matami if it's a kesed. Okay, those who are married here, who's married? Okay, great. So everyone here knows the difference between what we call a re'iyah and a kesem. Then a kesem is tamei midrabbanan, but there's a lot of kulas, right? That's what all Simon Kuf Tzadi about. A kesem is only tamei if it's on a white cloth and it's on double mechabotoma and if it's the size of a kugrisva od, etc., etc. So here, when the mechaber is telling you it's only derais and sargasha, Torah Shalom adds, it's only matame in a tiny drop if it's hargasha. So the kesem is not matame unless it's a large amount. Now, here we have a bit of a mystery, this hargasha. The hargasha, number one, is very, very important halacha lamaisa, because, just to repeat here, there are two basic types of re'iyah. This is with hargasha and without hargasha. The code words that the poskim use for with hargasha and without hargasha are re'iyah and kesem. Okay, kesem is very clear. The Gemara, re'iyah is the, again, has nothing with seeing. Re'iyah is just the code word the post can use for if you, something that's not a kesem, that a woman bleeds and she feels the blood leaving her. That's re'iyah. If she doesn't feel the blood leaving her, it's a kesem. And they're tremendous nafkaminas, even though they're both tameya. The nafkamina is that here, she's tameya midaraisa. And here, she's tameya midarabanan. Okay, which is not such a big nafkamina, because we're all Orthodox Jews, and we keep Dina Daraisa and Dina Darabanan, but the main nafkamina is, of course, she's Tmeya Midaraisa in all circumstances, while if it's a kesem, again, as we're familiar with from everyday Halach L'maisa, she's only Tmeya Midarabanan in very limited specific circumstances, if it's a certain size and on a certain type color material and on a certain type of material, etc. Tmeya Midarabanan in
limited circumstances. Again, we're not going to list those circumstances because that's what Simon Kuftzadi is about. And in many cases, tehora.
So that's a big nafkamina. Basically, a kesem, fine, just wear color undergarments. All your ksamim will be tahor, while the re'ia is tumah d'oraisa. There's no loopholes, there's no ways around, there's no conditions. It's totally tummy. And the assumption of Chazal in the Gemara is that a woman has a re'iyah approximately once a month in normal circumstances. That's a regular period. And then there might be a stain, there might not be a stain. She might find some place and be surprised without a hargasha. But it's very posh in the Gemara that when a woman saw dam, she would have a hargasha, she would feel the dam emerging from her uterus. Now, at what moment does she become tmeya exactly? So it says here, when it's nekar mimkomo v'yotza, when it leaves its place, even though it didn't go to the chutz. When it leaves its place, even though it didn't go to the chutz, what's the place? The place was mentioned in the fourth word of the siman, is the mokar. The mokar is the uterus, or womb. That's where the baby grows inside. Right? So if here, this is a not very scale accurate drawing of the appropriate organs. So here is the normal, I'm just going to write according to the normal assumption. This is the makor, meaning the uterus. This is where the blood comes from, right? This is the opening of the uterus. The opening of the uterus has the power to close and open. This is what's called the that's the makor in Lashon Chazal. Second. This opening is what's called the bein hashinayim, between the teeth. Because it's like, you know, like a doorway like comes out that can open and close. So for example, during the time of the month when a woman can get pregnant, it opens to let the zera into the womb to try to make a pregnancy. Other times of the month it closes, or during pregnancy it closes to, and then makes like a little seal inside to not let germs in while the fetus is developing, and then when it's time for childbirth, it opens exceedingly wide to let the baby out, etc. This is what we call the cervix in English. And that's the, when the dam comes out of that opening, that's when it is tamea. This is what Chazal call, according to the accepted pshat, the prosdor, right? This is the makom tashmish, where the aver goes during tashmish. And when the dam, we have a red marker. Very useful. When the dam, it comes from the marker, as soon as it gets to here, she is tamea. That's what it means, even if it didn't go outside. If she would feel it, she can't know, but if she would feel it, she would feel that it got to here, she'd be tamea, even if it didn't go outside her body yet. Okay, now the big mystery here is that Chazal talk all over about hargasha, about a woman feels that she's getting her period, that the blood is coming out. Again, period, I might add, is irrelevant, meaning no place in the halacha does it make a difference if it's what the doctors call a woman getting her period or the blood coming out of the makor for any other reason. That's a scientific fact, but luckily it's not relevant. If the blood comes out of the makor, we'll see, it's different if it's because there's a cut or something, but if blood comes out of the makor, that's not from a cut, it's the regular blood of the uterine lining that sheds every month, even if it's not the monthly period, even if it's for whatever reason, any blood that comes out of the makor through the bein hashinayim is metameher, is regardless of what made it come out. That's bein ba'ones, bein beratzen, right? So even if it's caused by the side effect of birth control pills or the Chazal and the Shulchan Aruch talk about by various types of exercise movements, etc., then it is metamic. Now the big,
just to clarify, bein hashinayim counts as inside the
koil. That is a big discussion in the Gemara. What is the status of the bein hashinayim? Someone talk about it here. Um,
the religiosity that we mentioned in the first video.
Yeah, someone... Banishayim Atzim Kalifnim. Okay, there it is. Yeah, Banishayim Atzim Kalifnim, that's what I thought. So only when it goes out of the cervix, then it is Metame. Okay, now, the big question is, Chazal assume every woman has a Hargasha, she feels when she bleeds, even inside her body. The question is, what's the nature of that Hargasha? And here, the Pesachei Tshuva points out, and really, where's this Pesachei Tshuva coming from? Right, if something is like an obvious everyday fact of life, then you don't need a Pesachei Tshuva bringing theories and collecting Rishonim and Achronim as to what the nature of that thing is. Obviously, already, and by the, by a long time before the Pesachei Tshuva, it had become unclear to us exactly what's the nature, what is the type of feeling that a woman feels when she gets her period, and the Pesachei Tshuva here brings three opinions. So he says, I am very dad, shalshvinir, goshesh, lenish, itmei, amido, raisa. Number one, he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says, nizdazea gufa, kamoshkas, Rambam, hechel, be a sort, din, yud zayin, nizdazea gufa, some shuddering in her guf. So the Rambam says, it's some general feeling in your body. Here it's, not exactly clear what that means. Most women don't feel, or maybe all women, don't know women feel a shuddering in their entire body when the menstrual blood leaves the uterus. It's not exactly clear what the Rambam meant by a shuddering. He says hirgish guf of nizdaza. She feels it and it shudders. Not so clear what it means. The Maram Shik and others, however, assume that the Rambam's lav davka. The Rambam doesn't mean specifically it has to be a shuddering in her guf. The Rambam means just any feeling which a woman has at the time the blood leaves her in any part of her body, that counts as a hargasha. Okay, so that could be shot in the Rambam. We're not sure if he means specifically a shuddering, or if maybe he means any type of feeling she has in her body. One second. The his real lashon is hirgish gufa v'nizdaza, right? That's the full lashon of the Rambam there that he's quoting. Her body felt it and shuddered. So it could be any feeling, and a shudder could really mean anything. Is the Yazua doesn't even have to be a shudder. It could just be a shock of some sort of reaction. So here we have, what is a hargasha? Number one, the Rambam, hirgish gufa v'nizdaza, which the Maharam Shik says, means, Maharam Shik is a Talmud of some sofer, says that hu hadin, or really that it means, and the Rambam says hirgish gufa, he says that means, the Sanctuary also struggles with what it is, but it means any feeling in any part of the body when she bleeds. Or when the dam, when the dam comes out. Any feeling that happens in any part of the body when the dam emerges. Okay, so that could be more general. The second thing he quotes, the Trumas Adeshin. The Trumas Adeshin, Sheniftach Mekora. That's the quote of the Trumas Adeshin. The Trumas Adeshin says, there was once a shy little woman who felt her uterus open in order to release the blood, and then didn't find any blood, and what's the din? Okay, since this is Trumas Adeshin, can you do it? He wrote his own question, so it's not clear if a woman actually said she felt this, or if he's just describing it. This is very mysterious. Like, what does it mean she feels her uterus opening? Like, most, it's not so pushy to feel like, the inner organs of your body open. So here it's not exactly clear. Here we have the Trumas Hadeshin. He says, Sichas pi hamakar. Right? She feels the opening of the uterus opening. It's not exactly clear what that means. The Maram Shik says he really means the same as the Rambam. doesn't mean she feels like in the cervix that the uterus is opening somehow. It means she feels a feeling that she has in her body when the uterus opens, whatever that might be. You know, it might be a tremor, it might be a cramp, it might be whatever it may be. So here also, he might mean something more general. It's unclear, maybe mean something more specific. But the Maharam Shik also says it just means any feeling in any part of the body when the uterus opens, you know, which is basically when the dam comes out. You know, saying the same thing in different words. So he holds that really these two are the same thing, unlike the Pesukei Tshuva, who takes them maybe literally and treats them as something different. Then comes the third one. It says the Noda Yehuda Shlish is named some Shod HaAchronim, the Noda Yehuda, Shemar Geshe, Shedavar Lach, Zav Mimena Bifnim. So here is the Noda Yehuda. This is not found explicitly in the Rishonim, which is, okay, I mean, he'll just say that that's what all the Rishonim meant. He didn't say anything. He says, Ziva Shedavar Lach, she feels a wet thing on her body. She feels something wet, traveling, flowing, something wet flowing on her body, and it could be something else, but in this case, happens to be Dan. She might not be able to feel which wet thing it is, but it's she feels a wet thing, and then it turns out to be blood. That is Hargasha. She feels the wetness. Now, here it gets a little tricky, because the question is, where and when does she have to feel the wetness? This is very controversial. This, no, who does, what do I mean by it's controversial? The Rambam and the Trumas Hadeshen, you don't really have people who disagree with. You don't have anyone who first says the Rambam's wrong, that's not a Hargasha. Or the Trumas Hadeshen's wrong, that's not a Hargasha. You have an argument whether to take it more specifically or more generally. But everyone agrees, right, this is sort of muskan, this is agreed upon, that if mamish, her body would shudder at the time she bled, that would be a hargasha. If she felt her uterus open, even though it's hard to sort of imagine people having that kind of feeling, that would be a hargasha. The Nod Yehuda, this is very controversial. This is very controversial, the Nod Yehuda. So in here, he points out already, that Amnam Tshuva Sachsam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer was very hard to prove that's not true. If you just look at the Makor sheet I handed out, did anyone not get the Makor that I handed out? If you look at the second side of the page, Chelek Gimel Hargasha. So the second thing I bring is the Chassam Sofer. He quotes Vinei B'Tshuva Shav Yaakov Mochiach Dal Korchov Zivas Dever Lach Lav Hargashim Darmini Perik Perik Haroa. He brings a good raya against the Noda Yehuda. Gabi Meir Aglayan, when they're discussing how about if a woman urinates. Gimel, the top of Gimel. I should have put numbers here, I apologize. The second one in Gimel. Gimel is the second side of the page. The second thing is Shuk Sam Sofer. So he brings a raya. The Gemara is discussing this idea that it's only tummy if there's argusha. It says, how about a woman who urinates and finds blood? So either argusha, Yoshe says, if she felt it, then if she's sitting while she told her, Delo argusha, and if she didn't feel it, then why is she tummy, etc.? The kashim asafigeshkan habafatay argusha zivas davar lach shari tilmir aglayim alo karchins argusha says the chassam sofer good raya. He quotes the Shav Yaakov and a lot of achronim says raya. The Gemara says a woman who urinates, did she have argusha? Did she not have argusha? If she had argusha, if she didn't have argusha, da 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 da. Says what do you mean suffic if she had a argusha? If the argusha is feeling something wet, then how could there be suffic if she had argusha? There's no room for a suffic. Obviously, someone who urinates has the argusha of something wet. So it says the Chassam Sofer here, he disproves the Noda Yehuda. Says the Chassam Sofer, he disagrees. And he says, this is not considered a Hargasha. This is not considered a Hargasha. And what's his proof? His proof is, the Gemara talks about a case of someone urinating with a Hargasha and without a Hargasha. If Hargasha was something wet, there couldn't be two cases of urinating with or without a Hargasha. Everyone would have to have a Hargasha.
But isn't the expectation that it was from the Dami? Here you see that there's urine, you know that you can attribute the...
Yeah, but that's what the Gemara's talking about. That's all already in the Gemara. That's not going to help you. If you look in the Sugya, they already talked about that. Okay, so here it's a little tricky. Like, how could there be a havamina of not having argusha when you urinate if our gosha is divas dover lach. Obviously, you feel it. So here, the Chavos Das in Siman Kuf Tzadi makes a pshara.
So the Chavos Das makes a compromise. And he says, hold on a second, let's think about this. Anyone remember, what's the moment when a woman becomes Tamea? When it leaves the Bein Yishnayim, when it leaves the Mokar, right? So he says, well, if she's only Tamea with the Hargusha has to be at the moment, right? Meaning, you can't be Tamea if there's blood in this Hargusha in 10 minutes. The Hargusha has to be at the time of the Tumah. Therefore, she has to feel it leaving the Bein Yishnayim. It's only if she feels the wetness in the Bein Hashinayim that it counts. And therefore, he says that, what's his compromise? It's only Zivas Dover Lach Bein Hashinayim is a Hargasha. Only Zivas Dover Lach Bein Hashinayim is a Hargasha. What's his Svara? His Svara is the Hargasha has to be B'Shas Tumah. She becomes Tomei when it goes through the Bein Hashinayim. So she has to feel it in the Bein Hashinayim, not to feel it on her leg. Because that's 10 seconds later, or however long later. I don't know.
And why can't it be that then it's Megala, she was Tomei 10
That's not how the Chavos Das looks at it. That's how other people look at it. I know. That's not how he looks at it. And therefore, this also solves the problem of the... the Chassam Sofbrot. How can you say someone might urinate and not have a hargasha? Well, easy. She urinated and she didn't feel anything. Bein Hashinayim, right? Meaning the urine doesn't go anywhere here, right? So that solves the Chassam Sofer's attack. The Chassam Sofer attack says, well, then everyone who urinates would feel something wet. So how can the Gemara say there are two possible scenarios? The answer is no. If you're only feeling something wet over here at the opening of the uterus, then there are two possible scenarios. Either she felt something wet in the opening of the uterus or she didn't, because she could have urinated but not felt anything wet in the opening of the uterus. That's the Chavos Das. The Nodi Yehuda himself seems to be clear that you don't need Bein Hashinayim. If you look at the Nodi Yehuda, which I put on the top of Chilek Gimel of this sheet, he says, "Umeata nucha lomer l'chol haposkim min hargasha min haTorah, umay niu hargasha sheyargishu im hargashas psichas hamakor, sheyargishu im hargashas psichas hamakor, af hargashas zivas dover lach b'psara, nir l'niz dakti, da af hargashas zivas dover lach hashu hargasha." Notice, he admits to the psichas pia makor. He's just chiddush is that even feeling something wet on her skin counts as a hargasha. V'lo v'inan hargash psichas hamakor davka. V'ri ikar hargasha yolv shmuel. What's his right? Mibisora. Shetargish bivsora. V'ri haig basar lavel basar hamakor. Hoi. The basar is not referring to the makor. Shari mizeh yolfinish matam pnimki v'chutz. Because we learned from the word bivsora another drasha. That she's tameya, like we read in the Shulchan Aruch, even if it doesn't go outside. Even if it's in the prose door. She's only Tmeya when it leaves the Bein Hashinayim and outwards. The Besara refers to the skin, the flesh, outside of the Bein Hashinayim. What's his raya? You can't say she needs to feel the makar opening, because it's darshan Besara. The feeling has to be in her Besar. And there's two drushes. Her Besar, even if it's in the prose door and not in the air. Her busser, she has to feel in her busser. That shows the busser of the prose door she has to feel. Okay, so if she feels the busser of the prose door or an outward, that's okay. Okay, so now it's not clear. He says the hargasha is in the skin outside of the of the Bein Hashinayim. It's on the outside skin. That if she feels it, that's a hargasha b'vsara, and as Elchanan already said, but hold on, first it'll come out, and a second later she'll feel in the outside skin. How does that help? Lema freya, it makes it tamei lema freya. When it goes out, lema freya, we're not sure if it's tuma yet, till we know she's going to feel it in the outside skin. When she feels in the outside skin, igloimos lema freya, she was tamei. And if she doesn't feel it, then lema freya, she wasn't tamei. Now the question is, what part of the skin counts for the Noda Yehuda? How far outside? Like anything outside, even her toes? Or only right outside in the prose door? Not so clear. So, if you notice the way the Peskei Tshuva quoted him, he said, "Va'ayim b'zev b'tshuvas Nod Yehuda chelik." Sorry, Hashlish nimtzav shor achronim zal shemar geshes shedavar lach zog mimena bifnim. He still says bifnim. Bifnim. This is the way most achronim understand the Nod Yehuda. So here is the
Noda Bihuda, Lefi Pesri Tshuva, and most Achronim, he says that Zivas Dover Lach Beprozdor is a Hargasha. Maybe he only means Bifnim. Just it doesn't have to be in the mush. She doesn't have to feel the mocker. She doesn't have to feel the Benishinayim. But she has to feel in the Prozdor Bifnim. And then the two drushas go out. Bivsara means inside. What's the drusha? If she feels it inside, she's Tmeya, even before it goes out and rolls down her leg. So inside, the drusha, he's combining two drushas. One drusha is Bivsara, Bivsara, even while it's inside, it's Tmeya. Inside her busser. Not on her busser, inside her busser. Right? Not it's on her busser like this. Inside her busser, inside the Prozdor, she's Tmeya. The other drusha, she has to feel it. So the Pashup Shad of Noda Yehuda is the feeling has to be in the Prozdor. And the Noda Yehuda is not saying she feels it on her toes, or on her legs, that's a Hargasha. No, it has to be Bivsara inside her busser to match these two drushas. Again, one drusha is, even though it didn't go outside, it's still inside the Prozdor. The other drusha is she has to feel it in her busser. So she has to feel it in the Prozdor. That's the Parashas Noda Yehuda. That's the way most folks will understand. That yes, he says Hargasha's Zivas Dover Lach counts, but only in the Prozdor, not on her legs. However, you could say, although this is not really mainstream, and then also the advantage of this is it helps answer the Sam Sofer's Kasha. Why can't you have a scenario of someone who urinates and doesn't have Hargasha? Oh, they didn't feel anything in the Prozdor. They only felt it on their legs. There is a possibility, this is not mainstream, right? But you could say, maybe, although probably not, Hanoda Bihuda, maybe you could say that even Zivas Dover Lach outside on her legs, even that would count. But that's not Pashas of Noda Yehuda. He compares it to Bivsara, the drusha being inside. Okay, how inside? The Chavos Das says has been always been a Shinayim. Pashas, he means, no, after it comes out of the Bina Shinayim, while it's in the Prozdor. But you could say Noda Yehuda, he means, this is not what the Pesach Shum assumes. He says Bifnim, even if she feels on her toes, even if she feels on her legs, that's our Gasha. But that's not the Pashup Shad in the Noda Yehuda. Okay, so now we have, these are the basic Shitas. Now let's see what the how we Paskin. How do we paskin? So we clearly paskin. Hirgish Gufa v'nizdaza, psichas piyamakar. That's clear. No one's really going to argue on the Rambam and the Shumas Hadesha on this. The question is, what about zivas dover lach? So it's not 100% clear how we paskin. We'll see. There's not a tremendous nafkamina, but psak halacha is that this is rejected. Right? We don't take this like possible stretch super machmir interpretation. This is a super machmir interpretation. And whenever she feels something wet on her body, even on her toes, then that would be called a hargasha. Meaning the Gemara says it's a kesem if she sees blood on her leg. Okay, if she sees it, if she finds it on her leg without feeling it's a kesem, but if she feels it wet on her leg, she feels wetness on her leg, that would be a re'iyah, that would be a hargasha. That's a possible pshat, but it's not mainstream at all, because the whole Noda Yehuda is controversial. Half the Akronim Paskin the Noda Yehuda is wrong, and even those who Paskin is right all say only if it's inside the Prozdor, not if it's outside Mamish. And now here we have a problem. What is the problem? The problem is that the Gemara takes it as a Dover Pashat, that Dam comes Behargasha. The problem is that nowadays, if you go home and ask your wife, right, and all 99.99% of women say they don't feel when they bleed. They don't feel when they become Anita. And if you ask a woman, like, at the moment you became Anita, did you feel something anywhere in your body? A shudder, a tremor, a feeling of something opening, a feeling of wetness inside the Prozdor? They'll say, no. I only notice if I check and I see there's a stain. Or if it's like wet on my underwear and then I feel it, or if it drips someplace and I feel it. But they don't have any of these hargashos. And this is a fundamental problem. What about the fact that our women don't have any hargashos? What's the problem? Number one, it's just a mystery that how come Chazal assume women have a hargasha and our women don't have a hargasha? Or you can say, Ishtan HaTeva. And number two, like, does that mean no one's ever a nida nowadays?
right? That would be a good kula. Our women don't have a hagasha, so no one's ever a nida. I know there's still a gzera drabana. Fine, so they all wear colored clothing, and then they'll never be a nida, and you can throw hilchas nida into the garbage. That is not the minhag of Klal Yisrael for the past over many hundred years that we've been noticing this. So the question is basically how to solve the mystery, which is, how is there nida nowadays if women don't feel a hargasha? That is the mystery that all modern-day posts struggle with.
You need a hargasha also for both Tmeya, Nidaraisa, and Aswila Baal. They go together?
Yes, they go together. I'm not aware of anyone who distinguishes. In some other context you might find some distinctions, but in this context, I'm not aware of anyone who does. Okay, that is a big mystery. Now, if you took a shita we don't paskin like, then it would work fine. So let's just be all the possible answers. Let's say A, Aleph. M, Nema, Dezivas, Dover, Lach, Mibachutz, Mamish. Havya Hargasha, then it's easy. If you say Zivas, Dover, Lach, even on her legs was a Hargasha, then you understand. Even nowadays, a woman could, our women have Hargashas, you know, by the time a lot of dam drips down onto their body, then they'll start to feel something wet. So, if you held like that shita, then that would explain how we have our hargashas nowadays. The only problem is that's a super not mainstream shita, and we don't paskin that way. So that's not going to be a good answer. But the problem is we don't. Right? We don't hold this way. You can always save space by just writing thus instead of this way. But I'm a suppet whether that's pretentious. So maybe if anyone has an opinion, they can help me be my chuya. Now, there is another possibility. This is the sheet of the Maharam Shik himself. Notice how the Maharam Shik kept trying to like broaden all the Rishonim to like any feeling you have when the Dom leaves. Now, what's the problem? Problem is, our women don't have any feeling when the Dom leaves, right? A woman will be totally like not, no blood at all, totally not need at all. 2 hours later, she'll check her underwear and she'll discover that she bled and will say, okay, well, you must have bled some minute in the last 2 hours. Didn't you feel something weird in your body and that was the moment that you bled? And she'll say, no. I don't know. Like, just say, can you tell me which, like, 10 minutes it was? Because based on your feelings, I'm like, no, I didn't feel anything. And I just eventually checked and I noticed that there was a stain. Right? So she doesn't have this feeling. So says the Maharam Shik, and that's also the Tzitz Eliezer on the Makor sheet, says the Tzitz Eliezer here. He says a word in the Rambam. The Rambam has an interesting chiddush. Here we're going to have to bring in a concept that's going to be mentioned a lot later. There's something called a vesis. A vesis means when a woman expects her period. The most common vestos that we deal with are that a woman expects her period because of what? Because of more generally, because it's a certain number of days on the calendar, right? That's however, the Gemara also talks about another kind of vesis, right? Called the vesis haguf. She has a certain feeling when she gets her period. She feels cramps, or she feels headaches, or something like this, and then she gets her period. That's what's called the vesis haguf. That Tzitz Eliezer points out again. This is not his lashon. Says the Rambam has something interesting. When the Rambam brings down the dinim of Vesas HaGuf, he uses a word that's not found in the Gemara and the other Rishonim about Vesas HaGuf. Again, Vesas HaGuf means like premenstrual symptoms. A symptom a woman has and then she gets her period. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, if you look at her, Rambam perikhes mihoch zisuri via halacha beis posek, dar goshes dam Vesas, hu shetargish ba'atzam me'faheket u'me'ateshet v'choshes v'kresa. She feels herself yawning and sneezing, or perhaps flatulating, and feeling cramps in her stomach, and her privates, the Yistamer Saris Basara, and her hair is on edge, O Yicham Basara, or she gets a little fever, gets hot, to Piyotu or Zayla, and similar things. This is the Rambam's discussion of Veses Haguf. The Rambam uses the word Hargasha when he introduces what we call Veses Haguf. Right? No one else used the word Hargasha here. All the other Rishonim, when they talk about, there's a Mishnah, that she might have gotten her period when the time comes that she feels this and feels that, which is very common, like most women nowadays, I think. I haven't asked all the women in the world to take a statistically valid survey, but I think most women, they have some sort of symptoms when it's the time for their period. Right? They feel some feeling somewhere in their body. It's all different kinds of symptoms. But they don't feel well in some way. So the Rambam uses the word hargasha there, shetargish. V'chein v'posek per gimel hechus metam mishkav moshev halachavav, v'mosvalo rosha kavadala, she has a headache, or v'rek v'edomala, her limbs ache. Kavanas Rambam v'ur v'zeh, d'hain v'hargashas dam v'eses zet mehi minat Torah. V'ar barid al kolpan achav kolay rosh zeh, yeshin yam l'nashi zel lefnei o im kabalos beston. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, he says the Rambam uses the same phrase hargasha for the symptoms that come before or during your period, right, lefnei o im, as the phrase hargasha that we have in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. And therefore, I skipped it. He says, "Sipsei chacham bal paris ronim bar milelu." Again, this is really in the Maram Shek. He just brings it down to modern times. "Delefi arama hanal zeh hargasha mor b'torah." V'zeh ba'emes v'purish ramam atzvar. Hargasha zot sheyeshem emes gamas banazeh b'chol anoshim. L'chein af b'yamuva muva v'tshur shay d'hashvim zanzeh ein anoshim. B'kios v'psichas p'yamakor. Chol zot smeyot heim min atorn kolos. V'estam kem shiros now he's banazeh. K'derech v'yas anoshim v'achzmi hargasha m'furotos b'ramam adobo lehem. Kol achaz v'tshuris tofah shona. V'asher atzad ha-shom shem ha-gish l'hargasha lo v'kayotzin moros elu f'neo im kabol sa-vesh she t'masa l'fizem in ha-Torah. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, he was very bothered, right? You know, the Tzitz Eliezer was the biggest medical posek of the previous generation. So he was very bothered, like, what's this hargasha? Chazal say it comes with a hargasha. And our women don't have a hargasha. The answer is that if by hargasha you mean something like in the area where the blood comes out, our women don't have hargasha. But he says, the Rambam's goof from his nas, it means any feeling in any part of the body. It doesn't have to be a tremor. And the truest deshes psichas pia makar doesn't mean you feel it in the opening of the makar. It means you feel the effects of the makar opening in various limbs of the body. So basically he has all the Rishonim saying it could be in any phenomenon, any limb of the body. And then he brings the Rambam, who... The Rambam quotes when he quotes yawning and heavy limbs and headaches and cramping and flatulence and other things. He's quoting a Mishnah. But the Mishnah never used the word hargasha about these things. He used the word vestos. The Gemara never used the word hargasha. The other Rishonim don't use the word hargasha. But he says, now I have a pattern. The Rambam uses the same word hargasha in our context. The woman who has hargasha is Tvei Midoraisa. And the same word hargasha when he discusses the symptoms that come at the time of the month of the period. Therefore, he puts two and two together and says, this is the opinion of the Maram Shek, really, and the Tzitz Eliezer. Yeah, the Maram Shek, if it was on the Bar Ilan, I would put it on, but the Tzitz Eliezer is very nicely. He says, any premenstrual symptom is a hargasha. Again, he says, where's that found in the Rishonim? That's what the Rambam means. And that's what the Tshuva Zedeshin means. And how do I know any symptom counts as hargasha? Because the Rambam uses the word hargasha when he discusses all the different symptoms that might indicate that your period is coming. So, therefore he makes a taina. And then he says, there could be a woman or two out there who mamish has no symptoms whatsoever. You ask her, how do you feel like before you get your period? She says, I feel the same way as anything else. I have no clue when I'm in my body when I'm going to get my period. But most women, they have some clue in their body when they're going to get their period. You know, not 100% meduya, you know, but they have some general clue in their body how they're going to get their period. And, you know, they don't feel well in some way or have some strange feeling around the time of the month of their period. And therefore, that is a hargasha. Now, this pshat, the obvious advantage of this pshat is that it matches the metzias. Right? What's the disadvantage of this pshat? Seems like such... You'd think all the postmen should agree. What's the disadvantage of this pshat?
It's not really the exact time, right?
It's not the exact time. That's the problem. All these things that the Tzitz Eliezer quotes in the Rambam, They don't have it. Notice his lesson also. Lifne, he said twice. Lifne o'im. Before, after. All these happen a couple days before the period. Meaning, no woman gets this feeling exactly more or less around the time of when she starts bleeding. Women usually get these feelings before their period nowadays, not at their period. So can you say that a hargusha is something you get like a few days beforehand? That starts happening a few days beforehand? It's a little funny, because I'll make it sound like, in the Gemara, the hargusha happens exactly at the moment that the dam comes. Exactly at the moment. So that's what's a little duchuk. That's the weakness of this. The problem is that these feelings come a few days beforehand. Or at the very least, again, I'm not promising, don't take it to the bank and say I promised a few days beforehand, but at the very least, not really meduyuk to the minute or to the hour at the exact time a woman gets her period. It's around that time. So the tzitzit leader would say, who cares? As long as she has this feeling around this time, that's what's called the hargusha. Hargusha is she has this feeling, even if she has it a few days before and a few days afterwards, that's hargusha, as long as she has this feeling for the last couple days. But it sounds like in Chazal even say in the first paragraph that a woman, if she all of a sudden started bleeding at night, she would wake up from the hargusha. Right? Like she mamish, the Chazal make it sound like it's something very meduyak. So that's why most poskim do not agree with the Tzitz Eliezer. The mainstream poskim do not agree with the Tzitz Eliezer because in the Gemara it sounds like it's something that happens at the exact time, not something that happens for a couple of days beforehand. These feelings come a few days beforehand, and the Gemara sounds like a hargasha is at the exact time. So therefore, that's not such a pashut answer. So we're still stuck with our mystery. Now, another solution to the mystery is, and this is not necessarily trying to solve the mystery, but there is a shita, the Sidrei Tara, that I put in brackets here, Simon Kuf Sadi, Sivkat Sadi Gimel, which is like 20 pages long. He has a long discussion. It's Kuf Sadi's about Ksamen. So it's at the end of Simon Kuf Sadi. He says, now they discuss Ksamen, and there's their Kesem, and there's a Re'iyah, and it depends if there's Hargusha or not. Let me discuss Hargusha. And he has a big finish. His finish is that he's Medayik and Rashi and a couple of Rishonim. He doesn't put any Rishon Mefurish. It's all like interpretation. The Sidrei Tara says that Rashi and some Rishonim hold that you don't actually need a Hargusha. So this is the opinion of the Sidrei Tara, Bedas Rashi, and Tzas Rishonim. And the Sidrei Tara, I guess, maybe didn't have access to this. I don't know the history of printing of all the different Mefarshim. But nowadays, they point out, this is a Mefurshit of the Tosas Rid. The Sidrei Tara didn't quote the Tosas Rid. Meaning, he didn't quote anyone Mefurshit. He didn't have one Rishon Mefurshit. But there is a Rishon Mefurshit. It's the Tosas Rid. If you look at the Tosas Rid, it's probably on the shelf. Mefurish, on Daf Nun Zayin with days, he actually says this. So like he had like three Rishonim who he wanted to fetch it into, and then all the other Achronim say, no, you shouldn't fetch like that. That's not what they hold. But there's a Rishon that he didn't know of. He didn't have in his library. He didn't have printed. You know, I don't know what year they first printed the Tosas Rid Amida, but he didn't have a copy, obviously. But this is also explicit in one Rishon. It's the Tosas Rid on Daf Nun Zayin Beis. He says a big chiddush. He says that hargusha is lav davka. You don't really need a hargusha to have nida daraisa. What do you really need? You really need to know that the blood is from her body and not from elsewhere. Hargusha lav davka. Hargusha is not davka. Rather, it's just an igloi milsa that we are sure the dam is from her makor. Right? If you think about it, what does a kesem mean? you find a stain. If you now, you have to be really sure. The Gemara says, if she checks the floor and it's clean, and sits on the floor, and stands up and finds blood, she's not a nida, because there was no hargasha. She just found it on the floor. So he has to be nivchak to say, oh, that's because maybe the blood was always on the floor, and when she checked, she just didn't check carefully, but it was always there. Maybe it's not really blood from her body. It's a duchuk pshat. It's a duchuk pshat because they agree, if I sit on the floor, if I'm female, and I sit on the floor, it says she checked the floor and it was clean, sat down, got up and it was bloody, she's tahora, because she didn't feel it. She didn't feel it till she went on the floor. So you have the nidchak to say, oh, you know why she's tahora? It doesn't really matter if she had hargasha. She's tahora because it was probably it might have been on the floor the whole time. Oh, she checked? You know what? Sometimes people don't check carefully. It's a duchuk pshat. But that's the Tosos Rid, and that's what the Sidrei Torah wants to say for some Rishonim, like Rashi. And then other people, the problem is the other Achronim bring in five Rashis against that. He does have a Rashi that sort of sounds like that, but then there's too many Rashis against that, so it's not clear that he's correct. And you have to say that a big fish, it's not enough for it to be 99% from her body. It has to be 100%, right? And you have to say it's one of these Kedushim, like we have in Halacha. Where else do we have this idea that it's not 100%, it's not Asa Doraisa? Usually if it's 51%, it's Asa Doraisa, even 50% maybe. But like Orla and Chutz La'aretz, any Suffolk is Mutter, even if it's 99% probably Orla. Mamzer, any Suffolk is Mutter, and we Paskin, even if it's 99% he's a Mamzer. There are certain cases in Halacha where it's a special Mesorah, Gzeres HaKasav, that if you're 99% sure, it's okay. It's only Usher if it's 100% sure. So that's to say, you have to be 100% sure.
Well, I should have 100% sure. Here?
What?
What's the source here?
Ah, what's the source here? The source here is either, it's a good question. The source here might be Bivsara. She has to know that it's from her Basar, not just probably. I admit, the source is far from Pashut. But the truth is, Mamzer Vadev lo Mamzer Safik is also far from Pashut. Asiri Vadev lo Asiri Safik is also far from Pashut. So it doesn't have to bother them. Okay, the source is not clear. And therefore, now what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is, in those days, in the days of Chazal, if you didn't feel it, you couldn't be 100% sure it was from your body. After all, they lived in a much dirtier world than we did, right? Let's say a woman found on her skirt blood. Does that mean it's her damnida? No, after all, she probably cooked dinner. If she cooked dinner, that means she got a chicken. If she got a chicken, that means she was where they were shechting the chicken, the blood was spurting all over, right? That's normal life. Not to mention that there's a lot of dirt every place, right? Which could be similar colors to blood. So in the old days, you couldn't be 100% sure it was from your body unless you felt it. But now, that was before they invented underwear. How about underwear? Right? Nowadays, we wear underwear. Right? If you find blood, like, on the inside surface of the underwear, kenegad osomakom, like in the right place, you can be 100% sure it's from her body, even without a hargasha. Right? Because, like, where else could it have come from? Right? It was obviously from her body. There's nowhere else it could have come from. And therefore, right? And nowadays, we can be 100% sure without hargasha. And again, what do I mean by 100% sure? Obviously, you could always say, like, it's some miracle or something. But I mean, b'derech hateva. Right? In the old days, even if she found on her skirt right near the makom the dam comes out, she couldn't be 100% sure because there's a lot of blood going everywhere and it could have come from anywhere. She could have stepped on something and it squirted or something. You know, anything could happen. But nowadays, we have the underwear, especially with the inside of the underwear and the outside of the underwear, right? And you see the blood's coming from right there. We can be 100% sure without hargasha, and therefore, according to the Shita, it's pashut out. We can have nida nowadays. No problem. All you need to be is 100% sure. You don't really need hargasha. The problem with this is just that that's not the mainstream sock. That's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. It says, v'husha targa shvitziyasa. It doesn't say you just have to know where it's from. And that's dochuk in the Gemara. Because then you have to say, even if she checked the ground and found blood on it, she's tahora, because the blood might have been there, she didn't check properly. That's dachak. So again, the problem is that we paskin That Hargasha is Davka. Like, it's a nice Shita. You know, if someone wants to be Mechadish of Pesach, but non-mainstream Shita, and they're a big posek, they could. But that's not accepted by the mainstream poska. So we're still stuck. So the easy answer is the Aruch HaShulchan. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says the same thing. I think it's found in the end of Rabbi Eider's book. You know Rabbi Eider? Eider's books, the Halachos of, he has a few, Shabbos, Nida, Pesach. I think Pesach is probably the most popular one. So in the end, he has some short truths from Moshe, which are very fascinating, which were published in like the 9th volume or something of the Yerush Moshe, since then maybe the 8th, one of the later volumes that they didn't have when I was a kid. And Rav Moshe says a similar thing. But we'll read in the Aruch HaShulchan. He's lashon is a little harsh. Says the Aruch HaShulchan right here. The dash and nimsa v'tshuva le'echad me'agidolen. Shechakros el nashim b'kios v'amrlo she'tivis yesh b'hem. Yesh. There are different natures. Yesh v'shem yesh v'sivus v'yamakar. Some women feel the uterus opening. Yesh v'shem yesh v'yamakar. Some of them don't feel anything. Rakros zivas dam nida kol v'yesh. They all feel something wet on their leg. V'hevel yitz v'piyanash v'eila. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, they're lying. These women are lying. They don't know what they're talking about. Chazal who say a woman has Hargasha are more trustworthy than the women nowadays who say they don't have Hargasha. What do you mean the women are lying? Chazal say women have Hargasha. Women say they don't. They're lying. I mean, there's not much of an incentive to lie. Says, no, it's not that they're lying. I'm not accusing them of being bad people. Elish ain't a mevinos. They just don't understand what they feel. Now, this is very tricky. If anyone here is a philosopher, they can spend a lot of time thinking about whether you can feel something without feeling it or not. But we're not philosophers, so we'll let that go. But he says, "Deinam vinos." Okay, and then he goes on and he says, for sure, any time you have excessive humors in your body and they have to be expelled, you totally feel. He says, after all, people feel when they have to urinate, people feel when all the other things. So for sure, they feel it. Okay, so what does he say? He says the women do have Hargasha. They just don't notice the Hargasha. And his Chiddush is, it's called the Hargasha halachically, even if you don't notice. Like, if you feel without knowing that you feel, that counts halachically. And therefore, the women do have Hargasha. They just don't realize. Okay, it's a bit, you see how it's a big Chiddush, that it's a philosophical Chiddush, that you can call something Hargasha if you're not Margish it, or if you're not maven that you're Margish it. But that's what they say. Rav Moshe also tries to say, he says he thinks our women really do have Hargashos, although he doesn't clarify exactly why. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm not saying Rav Moshe is the exact same as the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm just saying generally the same. He says that they do have a Hargasha, they just don't notice. Okay, that's also obviously the problem here. The weakness is obvious, which is that you're saying that all the women nowadays don't know what they feel. You know, Abe and Cius, really, they all have a feeling they don't notice? I mean, how likely is it that everyone's going to have a feeling they don't notice? And B, just halachically, that a feeling counts if you don't notice it? That's not as crazy, because the Gemara Mishnah says, right, a one-day-old baby can be metame if she bleeds, which is actually is common, scientifically. Right, the Mishnah says a one-day-old baby can be tame, and a 10-day-old baby can be a zava. That's actually very common, scientifically, that because the normally baby girls don't bleed because they don't have the hormones that make these things happen until they reach maturity. But when they're pregnant, they have the umbilical cord thing. They get all the hormones through the mother's blood. So they're shock full of hormones. So it's actually, that Mishnah is, it sounds like one of these crazy things. It's actually a very common thing that a one-day-old baby could become a Nida. But anyway, how could a one-day-old baby become a Nida? She doesn't know how to think yet. So the answer is she feels it. She just doesn't know how to think about her feelings. So do our women feel it and they don't know how to think about their feelings. The one-day-old baby, she's too little. And our women, because they're just not in tune with their bodies and they're too distracted and whatever the case may be. So the problem is obvious. The problem is that it's a little dachuk in the Metzias, but it could be. Okay, now we get to, I guess we have to stop because there's no more room. Yeah, okay.
Didn't he say at the beginning, though, that there are some that feel psichas piyamikol?
Yeah, he said some do, meaning his problem was less chomer than ours. At least some of his women did. None of our women do.
Yeah, so I mean, does the language flow? Then he says, like,
Ha'ela means the ones who say they don't.
Oh.
Yeah, when he says Nashim Ha'ela, it's only the ones who say they don't feel.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, says Rebbe Yashiv in the Kovetz Shuvos. Yeah.
I don't know if it had to be Metallic to Mekes them, and we'll call it Riyah.
According to the Aruch HaShulchan?
Yeah.
It's a good question, and I'll come back to it in a moment. The answer might be, and this is what the Chavos Das says, and the Sidri Taurus says, that even if you assume not this way, there is a need for a Gasha, there's also a rule that you have to be 100% sure. And because there's another Mishnah that Darshan's Dam Velo Kesem, maybe that's like Asiri Vatan, Asiri Safek. So therefore, as long as you're 100% sure, then you can assume there was a Hargasha, but 100% sure using normal logic, not using Gasha logic. Okay, good question. Says Revol Yashiv here. Dehine alachapsuk of Ram Perkdal Mishur, via filu kitana, shabbat vatamil filu biom lidasa. Uvenidalam adays, mice with bilua kodin leima, that there actually was a case, and then they told her before they told the mother after 14 days. So for sure we see you don't need hargasha, because a baby can't have hargasha. Now this wouldn't bother the Aruch HaShulchan, you could say a baby can have hargasha, just they don't know how to think about their hargasha. Meaning babies do feel, they just don't know how to think about their feelings. So it's not such a good proof. Okay, I'm not going to bet, Rebbe Yashiv is convinced by the proof. So he says, it's not that you need hargasha. It's that a lack of hargasha is matar her. That they say, how do we learn two things from Bivsara? We saw it mentioned before. She has to feel it, and it shouldn't come out in a abnormal way in a piece of flesh, rather to come out as liquid blood. So we learn them both. Ulafizen, what he wants to, what he's implying here is that hargasha just means the normal way. Ulafizen, the kanvas yomechad shapers tami nidid var Torah. V'ayin sofas paneach, she'amal zeh mishkas lebas yomech tami nidid halochas hargasha tiyas rakim ainam hargasha doesn't bring us some. Lo shek hargasha lechvas lan. And he quotes him before Shragachavar, the lack of hargasha is a heter. It's not that you need hargasha to be tummy. The lack of hargasha is a heter. And therefore he says, v'chein lefi hani ashli rav reishi, so the heter v'dami gilsu v'gufu k'shabar lo shalom yisha. And came beisha samatach bosha also makan lespokes hafrashos umadzadam. If so, according to these poskim who say that the heter is, it's not that hargush is matami, it's that the lack of hargush is matahir. If so, a woman who puts a something to absorb on the also makom umadzadam, she finds dam came shaborsha dam yatsmi gufa. She sure came from her guf. Came into peyomin reisav glal chesar hargusha. So if he did right now, she's my name inam argishos pal. He's lodin she ain't drinkers that kula shok summon. Okay, what does he say? There's a separate pasuk, dam velo kesem, that's metar if you're not sure it's from your body. But if you're sure it's from your body, says Rebbe Yashiv, and here I'm adding a little that he sort of hinted at. He says that hargasha, it's not that you need hargasha. It's just that you need to have the re'i in the normal way. In the old days, if you didn't have hargasha, that was a re'isa, and therefore it wasn't a normal re'iya. But nowadays, where no one has hargasha, because neshana hateva, then it's normal to see without hargasha. And therefore, you're tvei even without hargasha, because that's the normal way nowadays. So that is, I'll just write, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you too. Take the board so I can get myself some more space. Okay, so let me just make myself some more space. Says Rebbe Yashiv. Says Rebbe Yashiv, he says, it's not that you need hargasha. It's that it needs to be normal and not abnormal. He says that bizmanam, right? Chesron hargasha hayureyasa velo haya derech hariya. That I'm adding, but that's the way he seems to be saying, because he throws in this bracket the normal way. right? But b'zman hazeh nishtana hateva v'chesron hargasha einu reyasa v'haderechu liros bli hargasha. Means he admits we don't have hargasha nowadays, like this Gimel. He admits we don't have hargasha nowadays, but that's okay. He admits we don't have hargasha nowadays, but that's okay, because the ikar is not the hargasha. The ikar is to have the normal way that all women see. So in the old days, the normal way was hargasha. You didn't have hargasha, that was weird. It's not matami, it's lokadarka. For a little baby, it was matami without hargasha, because that was normal for a baby. Nowadays, no women have hargasha. Therefore, the normal thing is to see without hargasha, and you are nitva without hargasha. According to Rav Yashiv, comes out a tremendous chiddush, which I don't really know of many people who paskin. I assume there are talmidim uvhakim who follow all the psakim of Rav Yashiv, who must paskin this way. But think about it. According to Rav Yashiv, it turns out if a woman finds on her underwear mamish the exact spot keneged oso makom, a tiny drop of blood on her underwear, then she's tmei midoraisa. Because it for sure came from the makor, and that's the normal way they're fine nowadays. That would be a very, very big chiddush according to this. That would be a very big chiddush. So according to, basically what turns out, hold on. My Rebbe, in these things, halachol ma'is is generally very willing, so I'm going to bring his sheet also, that he has an article about this. I think it may be the 30th Beis Yitzchak. I should be able to find it. Now, says he'll have another shot, but let's just see what comes out. What comes out, according to this, is that, what's the halacha l'maisa? Right? What is tuma d'oraisa nowadays? Right, which would be tame, even a kardol, a tiny drop, even on color, you know, there's no kula. It's like you're just in trouble. We're not in trouble. Asura. So according to this Sidrei Tara in some Rishonim in Rebbe Yashiv, anything that's vaday migufa, anytime you know it's from her body, meaning anything you find on the underwear in the right place, right? So that's a big chumrah. Any blood that is vaday migufa, even without hargasha at all, and this would be a big chumrah. What that means is that a woman's tamei anytime she finds a drop of anything, not if she finds a drop of anything someplace else, but if, like common nowadays, on the inside of her underwear, in the exact spot where obviously we all know where it came from, then she's tamei midoraisa. As you can imagine, that's a big chumrah, and that is not the minhag olam at all. Now, that is not the minhag olam at all. Any blood that's vada migufa, and also, as I think Matthias before, maybe the Aruch HaShulchan would also agree, right? And the Aruch HaShulchan would say, anytime it's for sure migufa, then we assume she had a hargasha and just didn't know. Or Mrs. Sofik, if she had a hargasha and didn't know, but Sofik d'oraisa l'chumrah, that would be a big chumrah. That is one possibility. Of course, another possibility. This is, the minhag is not this way. I don't know anyone who passes this way. I'm sure there's someone in the world. But I don't know anyone, you know, or any group or any type or hashkafa or whatever who passes this way. Although I'm sure Rebbe Yashiv's probably them too. But I don't know. I don't really know anyone who always passes on halacha like Rav Yashiv. It's not so common, even in, you know, the Yerushalayim Litvish community. But this is not the minhag.
Couldn't he argue that having a hargasha with a lot of blood is usually what's...
Okay, hold that. Great. Hold that thought for a second. Sure. Steal the chiddush. No problem. No, so I'll just point out that this is also not the common minhag. Is that according to this shot that we totally don't hold, like of the possible Nabi Yehuda, which isn't really, we would say, anytime she feels wetness on her leg, you know, or in any part of the body on the outside, then it would be Doraisa. So if she felt something wet, it would be Doraisa. If she didn't feel anything wet, it would not be a problem. But again, we definitely don't pass that way. According to the Maram Shek, we would say any time she has, you know, premenstrual symptoms. I guess that's how the Tzitzeliyas are paskind. That's also not the common psak nowadays. What's the common psak nowadays? The common psak nowadays is, and this is, what's the minhag olam nowadays? Right, we're all in suspense. Again, we haven't learned Siman Kuf Tzadi. But we all know that as long as you live with ksamim, it's very easy to find a kula. You know, you can always find a kula. Just wear colored, and uncolored than no ksamim, you're safe. So, when do we know that we use the kulas of ksamim? And when do we say, no, it's a re'iya, it's always to maybe the raisa? The minhag olam is if there is a quantity of blood, meaning a real flow of blood as opposed to spotting. If there's a large quantity of blood, that we say is Doraisa, and that's a real period, and that's real Nida. If there's a few spots, we do not assume that. What's the svar for this minhag olam? This is the minhag olam I've heard from many, many poskim from all different walks of of the Jewish community. What's the svara for this? So, Yosef suggests, or Willig says Rabbi Willig, what's the normal derech? What's the normal derech? He says very similar El Yashiv, but with a twist. He says, Bizmanam derech hari'iya haya liros behargasha. But now, nishtana teva, we don't have argasha. What's the derech hari'iya? The derech hari'iya is to have a flow and to have a real period. That's the derech of ri'iya. That's the normal derech of ri'iya, not to have like one drop. Right? Bizman hazeh derech hari'iya is liros the kederech Riyat Machzor. Machzor is a period, right? Choser, it's a cycle. Kama quantity sheldam, the quantity of blood. Therefore, it says, if you see a woman really gets her period, she can't fool around, like, oh, there's only a kesem, whatever. No, that's clearly Tomei Doraisa if you get your period. That's the derech that people see dam, is they have a real flow of dam. But if someone has a little spot, that's not the normal derech which you see dam. He's assuming derech means the derech of the monthly period, not derech that anything would ever happen to anyone. And therefore, that's what he says, that if the ikar is the derech, not the hargosha, and, give me a second, the ikar is derech, and the derech is to see the quantity of dam. There's another way to justify the minhag olam. So this is not one, but vav. The other way to, what I'm writing is vav ulei dalet. I know it's a little hard to see down there. The other way to justify the minhag olam is based on the Aruch HaShulchan, saying if a woman has one tiny spot, then who says that she probably felt it and didn't notice? Why would she feel one tiny spot? That's not the normal way she gets her period. But if she has a real flow of blood, then for sure she felt it. She just didn't know how to be in tune and identify that feeling. So that's another way to justify the minhag olam, is that it's really about assuming she had hargasha and didn't realize. But with one drop, how can we assume she had argusha and didn't realize? However, she has a real flow of blood, like a monthly period, we can assume she had argusha and didn't realize. Lamaisa, that's two ways I can think of justifying the minhag olam. One is Rabbi Willig. The derech is to see a flow of blood, not to see a little spot. The other is, based on the Aruch HaShulchan, if you see a flow of blood, you must have had a argusha. If you see a spot, you didn't. Or Moshe says, women know when they get their period. Yeah, when they get their period, they know. But if they have one tiny pinprick spot, then they don't necessarily know. Then they probably didn't have a hargasha. So those are two ways to justify the minhag olam. Lamaisa, this is the minhag olam. The minhag olam is that if you have a flow of blood, that's considered a re'iya, and that's Tomei Doraisa, regardless of the circumstances. If you have spotting of blood, that's considered a kesem, because women don't really have a hargusha, unless you're an extraordinary woman who has a real hargusha. But if you're spotting a blood, that's considered a kesem, and therefore it's only drabanan and only in limited circumstances, if it's unwiped and mekabel tuma and it's a gris v'od, etc., and generally it'll be tahora. That's the standard minhag olam.
When we talk about a quantity, like the blood, is that subject to every woman, or like there's some women have much larger,
right,
heavier periods?
Okay, so most poskim that I've spoken to, I've asked, oh, how do you draw the line exactly? Have said, oh, it's complicated. But this is a good question. Definitely, you know, seems to take into account, you know, is it part of your normal cycle? Do you, you know, etc. By the way, it comes out with an interesting chumra based on this. There's some forms of birth control that cause a woman's period to like be only a spot, but every month she gets her period, and it's only one little drop. So Rabbi Willick says, then she's made a doraisa, because for people, it's called Mirena. For people on Mirena, it's not a pill, it's an intrauterine device, that's the normal way to get your period. That's not the minhag olam. The minhag olam is that, no, we look at all women the same. So that's the famous chumrah of the Talmidim Rabbi Willick, that if a woman has a Mirena and her monthly period turns into a drop, but it's a clear monthly period with a clear cycle, then that's Toma d'Oraisa, because for her type of woman, that's normal. The other poskim that I've heard of do not say that way. But Lemaisa, where do you draw the line, is very unclear. Rabbi Weitzman will be here from Machon Pua, and he is makel about this. He says only really if you have a large quantity of blood that's really like a period, then you'll get to hear it. Many posts can draw the line at sort of a credit card. You know, if you have that big a stain, then that's already too close to a flow, too borderline, that we have to be machir.
A credit card is like the size?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But it gets tricky. There are different, there are definitely different opinions about this. But many poskim that I have heard from say, you know, approximately, you know, credit card, some say fold a dollar bill in half, which I think is around the same. I haven't used dollar bills for a while. And maybe there are new ones since then. The $1 bills are still the same? Okay, good, Baruch Hashem. Still George Washington?
Okay. I only appreciate the size of the bigger bills.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Anyway, so that's the minhag olam. The minhag olam is that somehow that if it's large, if it's a real flow of blood, we call that a hargusha for whatever reason, either because it's a derech, which is like a hargusha, or because she must have had a hargusha. And if it's just small spotting, then we call that not a hargusha.
I thought we were mentioning before that there's a concept of vestos, of either monthly or feeling, but I thought the implication was that there's nida even when it's not a veses. But basically we're saying nowadays there's only nida when there's veses. Like, and it seems like a little...
No. You could not have any feelings and just have a lot of blood.
I thought Rebbe mentioned that veses is also could be a monthly cycle.
Yeah, but it could be not on the time of the month and not with a certain feeling. You just have all of a sudden a real flow. Then that would be doraisa. Right. Doesn't have to be an monthly period. Yes?
Just to clarify what Rebbe was saying, you said in the beginning of Shira that in Chazal there's no distinction between period and blood or... and the dam from the makor. So you're saying that it's the derech is to see dam from the makor only when it's period blood?
I hear the kasha. So I probably just formulated some detail of his logic wrong, which got me into the place where you could attack me like that. So I have to look again and see, you know, maybe I subtly... just said over one detail wrong, because you seem to have a bit of a kasha.
I was saying maybe if it's a very small amount, so then it's not the derech to see down from the makor.
Right, could be, you know.
That's from the makor.
Yeah, it could be. Okay, I'll have to think about that. Okay, that is in terms of our gasha. Again, this is a very chumer issue, just because, you know, it makes a big, big difference, halacha l'maisa. Okay, now we know the minhag olam. The end of the first Pesachei Tshuva discusses the question of when specific cases, when we think there was a hargusha for other reasons, like there was something going on, but also makom that might have felt like a Hargasha, which are three possibilities, either a Bedika, or a Tashmashamita, or Miraglayim. We'll come back then. We get to Simcha Tzadi, we'll come back to this and discuss it in greater depth. We're not going to go into that now. Now let us go on to the rest of the simon. Says the Shulchan Aruch at the end of the simon something very simple. As a matter of fact, it's so simple that Chazal tell us this is such a simple halacha that it's a good halacha to learn. No one ever went to elementary school? This is such a simple halacha that it's a good halacha to learn right before davening. Because you should be omeid, l'espalo mito halacha psuka, from a very simple pashat halacha, so you'll have a feeling of Torah without a feeling of confusion. Okay, it's a very simple halacha. Sorry, I didn't mean to insult anyone from elementary school. They usually teach it there. Maybe they skipped it, I don't know. Maybe they thought you were too advanced, too inappropriate, who knows. What's that? Afilu Rasa Altibazam Kechardel Yoshev Shalav Shiva Nekiyim. Even if she only sees a tiny drop of blood the size of a mustard seed, and the poskim say, Shach and others, a mustard seed is lav dafka. It just means any small amount of blood, even if it's smaller than a mustard seed. Mustard seed is just, in Chazal's like slang, it's just the example of something small. But if it was smaller than a mustard seed, it would be the same. Yes?
So, how does that also goes into like, where
it's
microscopic?
No. Like everything in Allah, it has to be recognizable by the naked eye.
That's what I mean. So my point is up until the point where you can recognize, but even minuscule.
Yeah. I mean, not that it's so likely to happen, because usually you don't have such a small amount, but theoretically. Okay, we'll come back to that a few times. But it's just very posh. If you look in the Chumash, for all that nowadays we call Hilchas Nida, we put a positive spin, we call it Taras HaMashpacha. It's about family purity and improving the family. And that's not a modern apologetic thing. That's a Mefurish Gemara in Nida that Rabbi Meir says, why did the Torah say Nida is Torah for Tmei for 7 days? So that it'll improve her relationship with her husband. So it's not a modern apologetic thing when we say, Nida is good, it's good for family life. Chazal say that. But nonetheless, if you look in the halachos, in the psukim and in the shas, Nida has nothing to do with being married. The Isser of Nida is the same for someone who's married and someone who's not married. It just so happens that we always discuss married women, because if you're not married, you're not supposed to be engaging in sexual relations anyway. But the Isser of Nida is the same, and therefore, even though unmarried people should not be engaged in sexual relations regardless, but if she's a Nida, then it's much more chumer, and there is a Chi of Kares. Well, if she's not a Nida, then it is not a Chi of Kares. It's not so chumer. What exactly is the status of it? Is not for now. This is a Dabar Pashut. I'll just point out, before we get to the main point, there's a funny Torah Sashlom in here, who says, well, if the whole reason for Nida is to improve the relationship between husband and wife, right, where Meir says, this way the husband might get bored of his wife, but if she's forbidden to him every month for 7 days, then, it's, mayim benum yom taku, however you say that in English, you always want something more that you can't have. You always appreciate something when you don't have it, and therefore, when she goes to the mikvah, she'll be as dear to him as the night of their chuppah, and it'll renew the spark in their physical relationship. Okay, I think psychologically, most people agree that that's true nowadays. I mean, even the goyim agree that they don't practice it. They agree that it's a true psychological idea. So why does Nida apply to single people? After all, they don't need this reason of rekindling the spark in their marital relationship. So it's a little strange here, and his son even has to apologize for him. He gives three answers. And the first one is, well, that's like a medrash. You can't paskin based on a nice medrash about tamei mitzvos, like halacha's halacha. And then you have cute midrashim, but you don't paskin based on the cute midrashim. It's a little peculiar that he gives two other answers. And his son says, well, the two other answers were just stam extra, but of course he knows that we don't paskin based on midrashim. Mainstream halachic Judaism is that even if there's something in Chazal where they say, why did the Torah give this mitzvah? It's for this big reason and benefit. You can't paskin when it applies and how it applies and that reason and benefit. It applies whenever the halacha says it applies. And then you have a philosophy which discusses the benefits of it. And you know, the Torah said it and it tied it to that benefit, but the Torah said it whether it had that benefit or not. That's the nature of halacha. I think what makes us Orthodox Jews is that we don't say the halacha only applies when we think we know the reason and that reason makes sense. We say the halacha applies whenever it halachically applies. And you can do whatever philosophy you want, just don't paskin based on it. So the Torah says Shlomim, in his first answer, he says you can't paskin from philosophy. It's a little scandalous that he has to give other answers, and his son therefore adds a haggad to his book and says, you should know, it's not that he needed the other answers, he was just saying them, but the mainstream halacha is that nida applies even to a pnuya, because even though Remeir says it's to help marital life, that's just a philosophical drush, and it doesn't, you don't paskin based on philosophical drush. Okay, that's a good yesod if you want to be an Orthodox rabbi and not a Reform rabbi after you get smicha. But you can look at it at your own time. Now, I'll also point out one other thing. The famous Shut Rivash about a pnuya. The Rivash asks the following kasha. Right? As a matter of fact, it says here, what does it say in the parentheses? Rivash. Apparently, in the days of the Rivash, people were confused about this. Right? Meaning the Amoratzin. They said, they call it family purity, and they give lectures how it's good for family life. So I'm not married, so Hilchos Nida doesn't apply to me. That's what the Amoratzim thought. So the Rivash says, you're an Amoratz, of course Nida applies to you. And then he has an interesting kasha. Anyone who thinks that before the internet, no one did Averos, and there was no Znus and Pritzus, or before we came to America, or Zionism, or Enlightenment, or whatever, then everyone was a tzaddik. I'm sorry, you're going to, a trigger alert, you're going to be a little shocked now. Before the Enlightenment, there was no Reform Judaism, but Averos come from the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara has been around since the beginning of time, or at least, you know, since like the middle of Parshas Bereishis, without going further than that. And no matter how far back you go, basic Averos, not everyone, but the people of Bechira Chafshis and a certain percentage of people statistically did all these Averos. In the time many of you read the Shuts of the Rishonim, it's clear that in many other times and places there was a lot of Pritzus and Znus going on, as well as other Averos. There was also theft and other things, and Chol Shabbos, and, you know, did Bechira Chafshis, and people always did Averos. So, in the days of the Rivash, apparently it was premarital sex was not an uncommon thing at all. From some early Achronim, you have some harsh lines about what went on in the Jewish community in their days. But, so the Rivash asked himself, if Nida applies to a Pnuya, then why do we let all our Pnuyas be Chayiv Kares and do Eser Nida? We should make a Takana, they should all go to the Mikvah to avoid the Eser Kares. That's the Rivash's Kasha. Right? That's what they said. Well, you're telling us that Nida applies to a Pnuya, so why don't we all go to Mikvah? How do you let us be Chayiv Kares? And the Rivash's answer is, no, we don't send Pnuyas to Mikvah, because it's an Eser Kares if they don't go to Mikvah. But it's still an Eser if they do go to Mikvah. It's not Heter. It's a big Isser if they're an Ida, and it's a small Isser if they're not an Ida. And he says, we don't send our Pnuyas to Mikvah. In the days of Chazal, they did. Of course they sent Pnuyas to Mikvah, because they had Tumah V'Tahara and everything they touched and everything they ate. But nowadays, we don't send Pnuyas to Mikvah, because you can't legitimize a small Avera even to save someone from a big Avera. Right? That's mainstream. Right? Even to save someone from a big Avera, mainstream Orthodox Judaism, is that we don't legitimize a small avera even to save someone from a big avera, right? Even if you say people are going to assimilate if they don't go to shul on Shabbos, and therefore we should let them drive to shul on Shabbos, that's better than assimilating and intermarrying, right? So conservative shul say, come to shul on Shabbos and we'll save you from intermarrying and assimilating, and it didn't work. And Orthodox shuls, right? What was the difference in 1940 between Orthodox shuls and conservative shuls? Right, everyone drove to shul on Shabbos, but did they park in the parking lot, or did they park around the corner and walk? Right, Orthodox shul said, we're not going to kick anyone out, we like to be makarev, but the parking lot's closed. Right, we're not going to prove, we're not going to make it the kind of drive to shul on Shabbos. And if people did it, then they did it. The parking lot's closed. And therefore, people parked around the corner and walked and pretended that they walked from home, or, you know, at least gave the appearance of walking from home. What's the point? You can't legitimize a small Avera even for a good purpose, save someone for a bigger Avera. That's the famous Rivash. There are many Makoros like this in all Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, that the Rivash says that's why our Pnuyos don't go to mikvah, because you can't legitimize a small Avera to save someone for a big Avera. In the Rivash, one thing is not clear. Is it just that we don't make a takana they should go to mikvah? Or do we make a takana that they shouldn't go to mikvah? Meaning, do we just not encourage them to go to mikvah? Or do we forbid them from going to mikvah? A pnuya. That's not so clear in the Rivash whether we just don't encourage or we discourage and disallow. But the meaning of modern day poskim is that we discourage and disallow single girls from going to mikvah. Why? It would be better, luckily, if they're going to do znus anyway, let them do a small aveira, not a chiyuv kares. That's true. From their perspective, it's better for them to go to mikvah and do a small aveira than to do a big aveira. But from the perspective of the Jewish people, we can't legitimize a small aveira even to save them from a big aveira. And we can't say, you know what, znus is allowed as long as you go to mikvah. And if we let them tovel, then we're saying, oh, it's okay to do znus as long as you go to mikvah. We can't compromise our standards even to save someone from a big aveira. We can't even compromise a small standard to save someone from a big aveira, and that's why nowadays the minhag of all mainstream mikvos is that, in Israel it's complicated because the Supreme Court paskined against this halacha, but it's complicated for two reasons. A, because in Israel the Supreme Court can override halachos, and B, because in Israel no one ever listens to the Supreme Court anyway. So it ended up evening out, and we're back where we started. It's like just two funny things cancel each other out. It's an interesting country. It's a great one, but interesting. It's the best, just interesting. But if you're a Rav, if you run a mikvah, you cannot let single girls go to the mikvah, because that would be legitimizing. If they want to go to the river on their own, I'm not stopping. You don't send police to tell them they can't go to a river. You don't have to have police checking everyone when they come in to, like, they have to bring their marriage certificate. You know, we don't have to go crazy. But if the single girl asks, I want to come to the mikvah, then with the mikvah policy that we don't allow based on this Rivash, again, the Rivash is not so clear. You could read the Rivash as we're just neutral. We don't encourage. But the poskim nowadays read the Rivash as we discourage. So we don't allow a single girl to tovel. If she says, wouldn't you rather I do a small avera than a big avera? I'd say, if you put it that way, I'd rather you do a small avera than a big avera. But I'd rather you did a big avera without the rabbi's permission than do a small avera with the rabbi's permission. The small avera with the rabbi's permission, famous Akedas Yitzchak on Parshas Vayera, says even a small avera with the approval of the rabbis is worse than a big avera you do on your own. Because that's compromising our standards of the community. So therefore, better for Gochi Chayiv Kares on her own than for us to let her tovel in the mikvah, because then we're machshirin premarital sex. And even if we say we're not, we are. So that's the halacha lemaisa. If she wants to go to a mikvah no one knows who she is and put on a tichel and pretend she's married, okay, then we shouldn't witch hunt people. I mean, we shouldn't do that for any reason. It's just unpleasant. It makes life unpleasant. So if she wants to pretend she's married, then okay, let her pretend she's married, go to mikvah and do a small avera. That's her business, not our approval. But if she comes and says, I'm single, I want to go to the mikvah, then we have to say no, because we can't give our legitimization to a small avera even to save her from kares. That's halacha lemaisa.
Isn't there a machlokas about hilchos kiruv about the same mikvah, whether or not?
There is a machlokas in hilchos kiruv in these things, and I admit that there are very complicated situations, etc. The little question inviting someone over for a Shabbos meal, etc. So this does get complicated, and each situation is different, I admit. But in this situation, here we're not really talking about Kirov. In this situation, then I think it's pretty pashut that we have to be machmer on this. Again, obviously there are some in super duper liberal circles who think that we should give everyone the freedom to choose what level of affair they want to do, etc. But that's not our derech.
And was the Supreme Court said that it's mutter for pnuya to go?
Supreme Court says any mikvah which was built with government money has to let a pnuya tovel. That's what the Supreme Court of Israel said. I'm pretty sure that no one listened to it. Meaning, the three liberal places where they let everyone do whatever they want would have let everyone do what they want anywhere. And in most of the places in Yerushalayim, which are you know, were run by, you know, very from Yidden. Whatever the Supreme Court says is nice. So if you don't like it, fine, go to the Supreme Court and sue us. And we'll see you in the Supreme Court tomorrow. And, you know, work it out. And, you know, by the time you sue one mikveh and it goes to the Supreme Court, you know, she'll be too old to go to mikveh, and the mikveh lady will be retired, and then, you know, they'll worry about it when it comes to it. That's the way things work here. Okay, Viter. Now, the main point of this simon, of course, is that you have to sit Shiva Nikiyam. This is called, what's this called? Chumad Rabbi Zeira. You know what? I want the whole board. Could you indulge me, please? All right, Chumad Rabbi Zeira. Here we have to learn the Doraisa and the Derabbanan. Okay, the Doraisa and the Derabbanan. Mi Doraisa, there are two things. There's Nida and there is Ziva. And how many types of Ziva are there?
Two.
What are they called? Zava Gedola and Zava Kitana. Now, a male Zav, all the details are different than a female Zava, so we're not going to deal with that at all, because that's not our halachas now, we're halachas Zavim. But when it comes to a female Zava and a Nida, because I'll tell us, it's the exact same phenomenon. Right? Nida and Zava are blood. They're both blood. The only difference in a Nida and Zava is when exactly. So a woman has a cycle. It's called 7-Eleven, right? If you forget, just think of a Slurpee. There are Yemei Nida and there are Yemei Ziva. What's the din of Nida? The din of Nida is in days 1 to 7. Or, we're all Americans here. I can write 7 like this. Right? Israelis, they put a chupchik on the 1, it looks like a 7. So then they put a little thing in the middle of the 7. Very important to know. If you write a 7 on a check or something, people will think it's a 1 and you might get messed up. So therefore, if you write a 1 this way, it'll be okay because it doesn't look like anything else. But if you write a 7, you should always put a little thing in the middle, and that way Israelis will know it's a 7 and not a 1. Now, the is in days 1 to 7, and Zava, actually I'll put it here, Zava is in days 8 to 18. This is called the Halacha Moshe Sinai or Drasha of Yud Alef Yom Shebe Nida Lenida. There are 11 days after the Nida, which are days which are potential for Ziva. What's the din of Nida? The din is there's only one scenario. If she sees 1 to 7 days, meaning sees, meaning bleeds. Between 1 and 7 days, what's the Torah? How long is she telling me for? What? 7 days. She is Tmeya 7 days, and there's no meaning of Nikiyam. She's Tmeya 7 days, whether she bleeds or not. The Zava, on the other hand, has two possibilities. One is if she sees 1 or 2 consecutive days. I know 1 day can't be consecutive. If she sees 1 day or 2 days in a row, what's she called then? What? Zava Kitana, or what's another word for it? Mishameres Yom Keneged Yom. A Zava Kitana or Mishameres Yom Keneged Yom. And what's her din? Her din is that she needs to count 1 day. Needs to count 1 day of Nikias. She needs 1 nuki. Right? Therefore, what's her din? She needs to Tmeya until she gets 1 clean day. Meaning the next day. If the next day is clean, then she's Tahora.
Why is it called that if for 2 days she only has to count 1 day?
It's a good question. It's a good question. The second scenario is, of course, if she sees 3. I mean, I give you a duck answer, but you can come up with it yourself.
Okay. I give you a duck answer, maybe it's the same one as above.
If she sees 3 consecutive days. If she's 3 consecutive days, then she's what's called a Zava Gedola. And how long is she Tmeya? Until V'safra Lashon Asya Men V'achar Tatar, until she has 7 clean days. Now, here we have a famous Machlokas Rishonim as to how to know which are the 7 days and which are the 11 days. What's the sheet of everyone but the Rambam? Now, just to be fair, the Rama might have allies here. There is one... the Rama might have allies here. The Rashba quotes that Rabbeinu Hananel said like the Rama. And in the middle of Medrash Tanchuma, someone stuck in that Rav Shruya Gaon said like the Rama. And they didn't write like the Rama. They just wrote the same thing. So it could be that Rav Shruya Gaon and the Rabbeinu Hananel held like the Rama. Could be not. I don't know. Maybe. It's possible. You know, there are two other Rishonim Gaonim reported as having said like the Rama, but everyone else says against the Rama. So what's the machlokas? What does everyone say? How do you know when is 7 and when is 18? So everyone else says it's very pashut. Let me see what's the easiest way to do this. Let's say you get your period the first time, right? Yeah, that woman starts her life, gets her period when she's, I don't know, 12 years old, whatever it may be. So here is the other Rishonim. Days, she gets her period, right? First period. Days 1 to 7 are Nida. Days 8 to 18 are Ziva. Now, there's two possibilities. Either she might become a Zava Gedola, or she might not become a Zava Gedola, right? So what are the two possibilities? So let's see. She becomes a Zava Gedola, or she is not a Zava Gedola. If she becomes a Zava Gedola, her days can't change until she gets Shiva Nikiyam. Days don't change until Shiva Nikiyam. So either it's day 19 without Zava Gedola, or it's after Shiva Nikiyam. And now what you have is from day 19 or after Shiva Nikiyam until the next Re'iyah, she is in Yamim Haru'uyim Lenida. She's not in the 7 days of Nida. She's in Yamim Haru'uyim Lenida. She is in... Yamim Haru'uyim Lenida. And then what happens? If she sees Dan, then she starts again from here. Meaning, she basically, what do these days mean? She gets her period. A period is supposed to last 7 days. Whether she bleeds her period for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are very common. Or 7 days, those are 7 days of Tumas Nida. After 7 days, the Tumas Nida ends. Now she's in days that are potential Ziva. Right? I'll just maybe add some. Here, Tumas Nida, there is Re'uyim Le'ziva. She has 11 days Roy Le'ziva. She could become a Zava Gedola, or she cannot. She does become a Zava Gedola, then at 19, she's in a blank slate again. She's waiting for her period. She becomes a Zava Gedola, she waits Shiva Nikiyam, and then she's waiting for her period, and she waits and waits and waits. And whenever a new period comes, she starts again. It's actually, I made it look a little complicated, it's very simple. Basically, whenever a woman gets her period, she's a Nida for 7 days. The next 11 days, she might or may not become a Zava. Either if she didn't become a Zava or recovered from becoming a Zava, she waits till her next period, and her next period, the cycle starts again. And then, it's very pasha. The Torah uses a phrase. What does the Torah call Ziva? Seeing blood, not at the time of your period. Makes sense. What's not at the time of your period? Her period lasts up to 7 days. When is her next period going to come? A woman can have a 25-day cycle, a 30-day cycle. Maybe she can have a 19-day cycle, Efsher. But an 18-day cycle, that's too short. She sees within days 8 to 18 from her period, that's not normal. That's mid-cycle bleeding. That's not normal Eis Nidasa, and therefore it's called Ziva. And if she recovers or doesn't have Ziva, then she waits till she gets her next period. And her next period, she has days of Nida. That is, and basically what we're saying is you can only become a Zava within days 8 to 18 after your monthly period. Pashat. That is the accepted halacha. Not that it's Lamaisa, but the accepted halacha. That is the other Rishonim. How about the Rambam? The Rambam says you start from your first period. Now, there's a lot of things unclear about the Rambam. But days 1 to 7 are Tumas Nida. Days 8 to 18 are Re'uyim Leziva. If she bleeds in days 8 to 18, she becomes a Zava. Now, as another 9,
days 19 to 2, another 7 I meant, 19 to 25 is Ruyen Lenida. If she bleeds in days 19 to 25, she's Anida. And then days 26 to 36 are Ruyen Le Ziva. If she bleeds then, she's a Zava. Days 37 to 43 are Ruyen Lenida. Days 44 to 54 are Ruyim Leziva, and so on, 55 to 61, right, and 62 to 72, and 73 to 79, and 80 to 90, and it keeps going on for the rest of her life. So, 30 years later, if she's on day 3,816, and she bleeds, she's now a Zava, because 3,800 is divisible by 19, so that falls out, we left the 16, and she's a Zava. Right? You just need a calculator. And she knows she's a Zava or not. This Rambam is a little peculiar, as you understand, because for the other Rishonim, it's very clear what Nida means and what Ziva means. It's intuitive. Nida means she gets a period at a time fit for a period. Ziva means she gets mid-cycle bleeding so soon after her period that it's too soon to get the next period. You can only become a Zava soon after your period ends. Right? And anytime you get another period, you're a Nida. According to the other Shon, there's no days where Uyam Lenida. The 7 days of Nida are when your Tama is a Nida. Then there are 11 days where Uyam Leziva. According to the Rambam, it's funny. If you, a girl gets her period the first time and gets another period 30 days later, she's a Zava. It's actually a little peculiar, right? Because now it's Yimei Ziva, even though it's like a normal time to get your period. For the Rambam, this doesn't seem to tie into the nature of the time to get your period or not, right? Why would the time to get your period be from days 19 to 25? Any scientist would tell you, and this has not changed since the days of Chazal, who say the average period is 30, that this is the time to get your period, and yet it's Yimei Ziva. For the Rambam, it has nothing to do with nature. It's just the Gzeiras HaKosuv of 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. Notice also that, and this has to do with those complicated Mishnayos called the Tovs, the Pesche Nida of the woman who loses track of whether she's a Nida or a Zava. How does she figure out what she is? For the other Rishonim, just wait till she's a break and gets her period again, and she's on day one. For the Rambam, it's very hard, if you lose track of what day you're in, it's very hard to figure out what day you're in again, because you need to know the count back to when you were 12 years old. Here, I'm not getting into how the Achronim have very, very lively debates as to whether the Rambam would have any exceptions. Like, would there be any times where the Rambam admits that you start your, like, day one again based on your natural period and not just based on this abstract count? So it's Machlokas, Achronim. What if a woman has a Vesis Kavua? Could that, like, restart day one for the Rambam if she has a fixed period? Or what if a woman like sees on day 24? Could that restart the count since it was Rory Lenida? All of this is a machlokas. The Rambam is very unclear. It could very well be that the Rambam holds that almost nothing except for like very rare events would ever restart the count. And according to the Rambam, it's very hard to know, like if you asked your wife whether she's in time of Nida or Zava according to the other Rishonim, it would be obvious to her. If she just got her period within the last 7 days, she's in the time of Nida. If she got her period 8 to 18 days ago, she's in the time of Ziva. If she got her period more than 18 days ago, she's waiting for the next time of Nida to start. Very posh. According to the Rambam, you ask your wife, is she now in the days of Nida or Ziva? She'd say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I wrote down like what's happened to me in the last umpteen years and give me a calculator, and it would be very complicated. Halacha l'maisa, we'll see, it doesn't make such a difference. But who do we paskin like? What does the Shach say? The Shach says, not like the Rambam, says the Shach, Aval Kar Hisigol of Kol HaPoskim V'Hiskimu. All the Poskim argue with the Rambam and agreed. All the Poskim meaning substantially all. Everyone agrees against the Rambam. We Paskin against the Rambam. This, as a matter of fact, I don't have time to go into it, but if you actually try to get the Rambam to work out on all the sugyas, if you actually try to get him to work out in common sense, it's going to be very hard. Even if you say, I don't care about common sense. It's all halacha moshe Sinai for reasons that are beyond our human ability to fathom. I just want to get him to work out with all the Gemaras. Even that's going to be exceedingly difficult.
But Yumayin, if you have time, just look at the first Makor in Chelik Aleph. The Chasam Sofer says Ma'aseh v'efter l'asul Rambam filu sniff the alma v'amilsa. You can't even count the Rambam as a slight support for anything. I mean, sometimes you don't pass like a shita, but it might slightly affect the psak halacha if there was a very borderline psak halacha. The Rambam doesn't count for anything. His shita so dechuya. That's the magic word. His shita is dechuya. The shita of the Rambam is pushed aside here. It doesn't count with any halachic weight whatsoever. Not only don't we paskin like it, we don't take it into account at all. It is utterly irrelevant halachically. Why? As he says, lomatzinya deni v'raglini beruv hasugyos. Because we can't figure out how to get most sugyos and shas to work according to the Rambam. And therefore, halach lamaisa, we pass like the Sam Sofer, that the Rambam Shita is considered Shita Dechuya. It's just so difficult that we can't figure out how to make sense of it. I don't mean in common sense. Halachas don't have to make common sense. That's not a kasha. I just mean in Rov Sugyos HaShas, especially the difficult Mishnah of how a woman who forgets what day she's in figures out, straightens herself out. Of course, the other Mishnah doesn't make sense. How does she straighten herself out? She just needs to go like a month without seeing, and then get her period. She straightened out. Where the Rambam? How does she ever straighten herself out? It's very difficult, and the Rambam has a lot of difficulty with it. Ayin Sham Solamaisa. We do not take into this into account at all. As the Sam Sofer ends, until we find a way to answer up all the sugyas for the Rambam, it has no halachic weight.
And you've alluded to this before, but the woman, according to the Rambam, she sees us say on day 7. Continues bleeding into 8, 9, 10. So she like Anita, and then also
Lizava.
How does that work?
According to the Rambam, if she sees on day 7 and then goes into 8, 9, 10, so this is a big machlokis. The Ramban says if she sees on day 7, then that restarts day 1, and she's actually aligned.
Even the Rambam.
Yes, he says even according to the Ramban, if she sees in the Yom Haruyim Anita, she then starts new Yemei Anita. The Maharshal disagrees. And the Maharshal says that, no, it's still the next stage of Yemei Ziva. Would she become a Zava or not? In 1 second. I don't remember, because you could say, it's still Yemei Ziva, but she can't become a Zava. Or you could say, it's Yemei Ziva and she becomes a Zava. And I don't have enough of my notes here, so I'm not sure. Okay, you can ask me later. I have it in my notebook in my office. Okay, now, let's just take a few more minutes and get from the Doraisa to the modern day Halacha Lamaisa, even if we don't totally finish it. Let's ask a very simple question. There were two Chumras that appeared in history. One is Takanas Rebbe, and the other is Chumra Rebbe Zera. Takanas Rebbe, where does the Gemara say Rebbe was Matakin? In Sados, at least our Gersa is Sados. And a lot of Mefarshim say even the other Gersa means the same. What do we imply from the fact that we're talking to Sados? That his takan is only for people in the rural areas where they have no Jewish education, but it's not necessarily applied to people of a Jewish education, right? So it's not necessarily binding on us. But let's see what Takanas Rebbe is. Let's see a woman who... Here is Takanas Rebbe. So let's say here a woman sees how many days? Sees for how many days? So 1, 2, 3. Mida Oraisa. What's the din if she's in Yemei Nida or in Yemei Ziva? So if she sees one day, what's the din in Yemei Nida? What? She is Tmeya Shiva. Not Nikia, 7 days. What about Yemei Ziva? Shomer is Yom. What about 2? Tmeya Shiva. And Shomer is Yom. What about 3? Tmeya Shiva. And Zava Gedola, Shiva Nikiyim. Right, so Yemei Ziva is more Chomer in 3, but Yemei Nida is more Chomer in 1 or 2. Now, Rebbe made a takana. Rebbe made a takana assuming that we don't know if you're in Yemei Nida or Yemei Ziva. So, takanas Rebbe, his sados. If you see one and you don't know, then what's more chomer? Nida. So therefore, the more chomer is Nida, and she's Tmeya
Shiva, right? Or his lashon is Shishavu, right? Now here it gets a little tricky. What if you see two? Then what's the most chomer?
Start the second day.
The most chomer would be, let's just put in blue, what's the most chomer? Right? What would be the most chomer? So here the most chomer would be Yemei Nida. What's the most chomer if you see two?
Still dark.
The most chomer would be first is during Yemei Ziva, and the second day is Yemei Nida. Right? That would actually be the most chomer. Right? Because the first, if they were both Nida, you'd need those two plus another five. If they were both Ziva, you'd only need Shomeris one more day of Nikios. But if the first was in Ziva and the second was in Nida, say the first was day 18 and the second was day 19, then the first one does not count as Nida, and you have to count 7 days from the Nida. So therefore, you have, right, Temeya Shiva from the second day, or as we say, Shisha Vehu, you're Temeya 8 days. Why? Because maybe the first was Ziva, or we'll see another possibility. What if it's three days? What's the most common? That's easy.
Sure,
Ziva. And therefore, you need Shiva Nikiyim. So this is Rebbe's Takana. Rebbe's Takana is you always have the most Muhammad scenario. If one day, you need that plus another 6 days of Nida. If 2 days, you need them plus another 6 days of Nida, because maybe only the second one was Nida, and the first one wasn't. And if you have 3 days, you need Shiva Nikiyim. That's Takanas Rebbe in Sadus. Okay, why did Rebbe make this Takana? What was so bad that he worried about? Like, why would he be confused? So here, the Torah is lush and strange, right? He seems to be asking two explanations. What are the two possible explanations for Takanas Rebbe? Why was Rebbe so afraid? After all, until the time of Rebbe, they weren't afraid. Why was Rebbe so afraid? Anyone? What are the two explanations why Rebbe was so afraid? One is just very common sense.
People make stuff.
The women are confused. Maybe the women are confused as to what day it is, right? The women just make mistakes. So, one is that the women get confused, and therefore they could know, if they weren't in the Sados, they might know if they were educated women and sophisticated cosmopolitan women, but out in the Sados, they don't know if it's one day, if they're in Yemei Nida, Yemei Ziva, they don't remember, they don't keep track, and say, how hard is it? Well, according to the Rambam, it's very hard, and for sure they'd be confused. According to the most Rishonim, it's hard to get confused. But if you're really uneducated and unsophisticated, you could be confused. When was your last period? How many days ago? I think, I'm not sure, I don't know, you know. How hard is it to keep in mind? They didn't have calendars then, right? Yeah, I think the moon might have been full then, and now it's a new moon, but I'm not sure, maybe it wasn't the full moon. So they could just be confused. Right, for the Rambam, posh, they'd be confused. Who's going to keep track of this, right? Get confused, especially for the Rambam. But that's not what the Torah mostly emphasized. What did the Torah mostly emphasize? That something else happened in the time of Rebbe in the history of Halacha. What else happened in the time of Rebbe? We lost our Bekiyas and Maros Damim. The Gemara says that Beit HaMasorah, only four shades of red and black are Tamei. Other shades of red are not Tamei. Right, I know nowadays you go to Rav Weissman, you learn different colors. You think we're learning our expertise. No, we're just learning how to approximate very, very vaguely the expertise that existed 2,000 years ago. We don't have expertise. We don't really know which colors are Tamei, which colors are Tahor. Even if we have a reddish color, we don't know if it's Tamei or Tahor. Already, around the days of Rebbe, there were Amoraim who said, I'm not an expert. I don't really know which color is Tamei, which color is Tahor anymore. So now think about it. If you're not sure about the colors, what do you have to do if you have an unclear color? Be machmir or mekel? Obviously be machmir. If you're not sure, you have to be machmir. Then what's the problem? Once we're machmir on unclear colors, of course you don't know what day you're in. Think about it. Let's say a woman had a color, the rabbi said, Tamei. So she starts counting her 7 days of Nida, and then her 11 days of Ziva. But maybe that color really wasn't Tamei. So on day 12, says, now my Yemei Ziva. Maybe not. Maybe that color was really fine and she wasn't anything, and now it's her Yemei Nida. Right? She says, oh, it's Yemei Ziva now because I got my period 12 days ago. No, maybe that was really not blood at all. That was not tummy at all, and you're only getting your period now. It's Yemei Nida. Or she says, it's Yemei Nida because I got my period 20 days ago. No, maybe that was really nothing. It was 10 days ago that was really your period, and now you're in Yemei Ziva. So you can never know what day you're in, no matter how smart the woman is, no matter how smart the rabbi is, because you don't know the colors of blood, right? So therefore, we don't know how to paskin colors, and therefore, no matter how smart the women are, we don't know whether you may need her in Ziva most of the time. Meaning, if she saw nothing for the last 20 days, she knows. But usually we don't know. She saw last week, but we don't know if that was you may need her or that was nothing. Right? So therefore, it's very, very confusing. Right? Because we never know what day you're in, because you always count from your last period, according to the other Rishonim. But you don't know when your last period was, because maybe that wasn't really a period. Maybe that was really Dam Tohor. Dam Tohor means a mutter color, not Dam Tohor. That's something else. Okay, and therefore, you have to be Machmir. Okay, you can work out scenarios on your own. Since the hour is late, I won't write scenarios on the board. Let's just see. Okay, maybe we'll stop. Now, this is the Takana of Rebbe. It is, and then the Tazna Bach get into all kinds of lumdas, especially about how you get from there to Chumrah of Zera. We'll have to pick up with that Amir Tzashem. Next time, this is the Takana of Rebbe, and you see women might be confused, but for sure, now that we don't know colors, it's very common a woman to be confused, because according to the other Rishonim, she thinks it's 12 days since her period, but maybe it's not, because maybe that dam was really not Tamei blood. Maybe that dam was totally innocent blood, and it was didn't count at all. And maybe she's any random amount of days. Right? She saw like 8 times in the last month. We don't know which of those were really dam, which weren't, so how do we know what day she's in? And that's why we're all confused nowadays.
So for the second estimation, so just on the
you could say the first was Dam Tohar.
Right, yeah.
Correct. You could say the first was Dam Tohar. Right. So that's what you would add, right? Okay. Or I'll put that's an asterisk. Or Dam Tohar. Okay, so we'll pick up Mirshem with Chumar Dori Zeh. We just have a few minutes left to discuss in the Simon next year. The Iker, next year, we will go on to Simon Kof Pei Tes Mirtz Hashem. Kof Pei Dalet, what I said. Mirtz Hashem. We'll go on to